The other day I was at the local high school during track practice and there was some music playing, you know, for good vibes. Now, I don't know whose playlist it was or why the songs were chosen, but there were about three hip-hop songs that were played like when I was in middle school. Songs that I know that I'm not proud of, but I know all the lyrics to, and those songs did not get out of my head for the entire week. These musical earworms pop up when we have some extra brain power, processing power, doing tasks that we don't have much thought of about doing, like brushing our teeth or doing the dishes or something that we could do in our sleep. And so these brain worms get in there and they just kind of gnaw at us, maybe a little bit obnoxious, but sometimes so hard to shake. Now, this weekend, we're concluding our Dangerous Prayers series, and this week's prayer is a little bit like those songs that you just can't get out of your head. This week's Dangerous Prayer comes out of the depths of the soul of the prophet Jeremiah, and it is, "Break my heart, God." Now, last week's Dangerous Prayer was, "Speak to me, God." And the results of that prayer kind of place the ball firmly in our court about what to do when God speaks. Are we going to roll over and hit snooze on God's word, or are we going to act? But this week, to pray, "Break my heart, God," gives God permission to change the way that we see the world in a way that we can't then turn back time or forget about or go back after we've started down that path. This prayer feels like the scene from the Matrix movie. Do you remember those? Where the main character, Neo, has to choose between the red pill or the blue pill. Now, if he chooses the blue one, Neo wakes up as if nothing happened. But choosing the red pill, that path would lead his eyes to be open and that he would see things that were previously unseen. It would change his world. The choice to honestly pray this prayer of, "God, break my heart," or not, gets to the heart of kind of what our faith is in our lives. What is the role of our faith in our lives? The blue pill answer for this kind of "what does my faith do" question would be that our faith makes us feel good about ourselves, what we're already doing, and that if it leads to being good and kind people, great, that we're gonna be blessed by that. This moralistic therapeutic deism is kind of a self-help type of faith that leads to safer, more comfortable lives for the me. But it can also easily dip in and out of caring for others. That's the blue pill choice. But if we invite God to break our hearts, it's kind of like taking that red pill, that one that'll open up our eyes and change our perspective. Praying this prayer in this way means that we will be seeing the world with a more dynamic range, to use a photography or a videography term, right? That our hearts will break because we see the brokenness in contrast to what life in the world could be, or what God has imagined the potential to be. The lows are lower, but the highs are higher as well. In praying this prayer, we also make a commitment to stop being the center of our own universe and make God the center. When we see the world through our own eyes, we can choose when to turn a blind eye. Our tunnel vision allows us to more easily ignore that cognitive dissonance, you know, that feeling that something just isn't right or it doesn't jive or add up. We can forget that cognitive dissonance when we're the center of our own world. But when God is the center, we're not so able to pretend that, but we are able to see that preferred future for all of creation. When we pray this dangerous prayer, the goal of our lives is to see the potential of restoration through God's perspective, so that our hearts might be broken open, and then begin to work alongside of God to make earth look a little bit more like that kingdom of God here and now. When we pray this prayer, we hold in that tension, the future hope of restoration that God has in store for us, and that present reality that we're not there. In this tension, our hearts break alongside of God's. And it's at this point that we can't help but act because we can't refrain, we can't get that refrain of God's song out of our heads, that God isn't finished with us yet. Often this action leads to discomfort and risk, but also there's a blessing in seeing the transformation happen because your heart has been broken open with compassion and empathy, humility and hope for something better for the people of God, for every single person. And throughout our scriptures, we see examples of people who are broken open by God and become agents of transformation because they see the potential of hope in and among and through the brokenness. There's something that can be transformed there. And each one of these people that we read about in scripture and that we encounter in our lives know the power of the word yet. The prophets, preachers, and saints of our faith know full well the current circumstances are not God's preferred future, that we're not there yet. But because of that word yet, they work on making it a reality. Our scripture today, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he saw God's people had been rebelling against God and worshiping false gods. Injustice and abuse ran rampant, and the widows and those most vulnerable weren't being cared for. It didn't look like the kingdom of God yet. But Jeremiah saw the potential of yet, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he preached, and he did the things that he could control, and he did everything in his power to be faithful to God's preferred future and invite others to do the same. Moses was living in the lap of luxury of the Egyptians, of Pharaoh, and his heart was broken open because of the treatment of his fellow people, the Hebrews, being enslaved by those that he was living in their house. He couldn't shake the feeling that there was something better, and eventually, because of the power of yet, after a lot of struggle and hardship, he led the people out of Egypt. It wasn't perfect, of course, but it was faithful. And it led to a freedom for God's people that more closely resembled God's perfect and preferred future. All because Moses was willing to pray to break my heart open, God. There's this woman in our scripture, in our gospels, who was broken open by the love and grace of Jesus. She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. That is bold. But it was done in the presence of the disciples. Her heart was transformed and displayed this humility when even those disciples who were too proud to take on the role of servant were looking on, because she knew the power of yet. Mother Teresa. Her heart was broken open for the poor of Calcutta, and she needed to do something about it because of the refrain of God's story and song. When God broke open her heart, she couldn't get out of her head. And she was an agent of transformation because she saw a broken world through the hopeful eyes of God and the power of yet. All of these faithful servants knew the power of yet and an unshakable refrain of God's song of hope that will break our hearts open and lead us to a life of blessing. It's hard, absolutely, but it is also a blessing. I'm confident that you, if you're courageous enough to pray this prayer, your heart will be broken open in a way that will not allow you to go back to the way things were. But it's going to gnaw at your mind, tug at your spirit in a way that will allow you, that will encourage you, that will move you to be an agent of transformation, that will be a blessing to someone else and bring the kingdom of God a little bit closer. I know that this prayer has done this for our family. It's this unshakable prayer that led our family to have a heart for the people of Haiti, that we're not particularly skilled or uniquely equipped to change lives there. We're not diplomats or anything else or anything special, really. But we are willing. And in our own small way, the Bishop family tries to bring hope and connection to some of the local communities that we've connected with in Haiti. Our world's not perfect yet. But I feel like it's a little bit closer of being that because of the efforts of my loving family trying to do what we've been called to, having our hearts broken open through this prayer. And so as we reflect on Jeremiah's words, where are you feeling God is making you uncomfortable in a way that demands action that you just can't set on the back burner, that keeps gnawing at you like one of those earworm songs? Where is God making you uncomfortable and breaking open your heart? This week, take some time, set some time aside, put it in your planner, schedule it out on Google Calendar, whatever it is. Take some time intentionally this week. Set out that time right now, so that you might then write down some next faithful steps of how you are bringing the kingdom of God a little bit closer because your heart has been broken open for the people that God has placed in your life. Let's pray. God of grace, God of peace, these big, bold prayers take courage. They take courage because they are not something that we are stepping into knowing the full scope or the full understanding of what you might call us to. We know that they are not safe, that they are not things that can be predicted, but God, they are things that are good and just, and they seek to make this place look a little bit more like your kingdom, because we know that we are not there yet. But as you invite us in, with the partnership of your Holy Spirit, we can make this place look a little bit more like your preferred future, like your kingdom today. Amen.